coming from a laboratory in the dungeon of a Transylvanian castle. The one, the only, feminist PDI!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, PD, back with another Cumbria Cult Cinema Cast. And this time, we're talking 100 years. We start our horror season, and we're talking 100 years of horror. Thank you for the applause. So yeah, we're doing 100 years of horror. This is the start of our horror season. We're here in transsexual Transylvania. And with me, I have my two assistants. I've got...
Igor Woff.
Igor Woff. And Igor Daz.
Yes, master.
Yeah, and we're starting with the 1920s, the 1930s, and the 1940s. We've got films from that, and that's how we're starting it. We've got from 1922 to 2022.
Not all tonight,
obviously. Tonight is the old school 20s, 30s, 40s. And these are some of our favourites. And from within the 100 years, and I looked over the list, we've got something from every decade.
You know what? Definitely something for everyone.
Definitely something for everyone as well. Oh, yeah. We've got some amazing subjects to cover.
Yeah.
On the Halloween-y thing, we're even going to be doing our top 10.
Yeah.
Our top 10 horror films, which I can't wait. We're going to debate them live on the podcast.
Mm. Get ugly.
Yeah, it could get very ugly. There could be some slappings going on.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've got some, to talk about. Oh, I've not got it on this one. It's on my phone. Ah, there we go. But no, we're covering modern horror, haunted houses.
Haunted house, yeah.
Remakes.
We're doing a couple of franchises.
Yeah, we're doing the Amicus Anthology franchise. And we're also doing
Nightmare on Elm Street
franchise as well. Yeah, that's it. We've got 80s horror part 2. We've got 9 subjects all told.
So 9 weeks of it.
Yeah, so you've got 9 weeks of us.
It'll go past Halloween, but
yeah.
So fuck.
Well, it's the late night, and everybody likes a horror once it gets dark. And people like horrors always on the run up to Christmas, because Christmas ghost stories and all that.
Yeah.
And we are going to do your horror Christmas films this year as well.
Which
we've never done yet.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, yeah. Because we've done Christmas films last year, didn't we?
Well, I talked about Krampus last year.
You did.
It's a shame.
Yeah, but, you know.
But I'll just mention that now. That's no relation to anything.
So, let's get started. Let's get physical. Bless her, she's dead now, isn't she?
Yeah.
R.I.P. Olivia Newton-John.
Did you know she was 29 when she did Grease?
They were all quite old. I think her who played Rizzo was 35.
Oh, no, she wasn't 35, she was older than that. Fucking hell. I know she listens and everything, but I think she's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know, this is...
Anyways,
listen.
Let's get started. And as always, it's me to start.
Aye.
So... I'm gonna go then. It's Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, 1943, Universal Monster. Ron Chaney. I am friends with Ron Chaney, which is Lon Chaney's grandson.
Okay.
Lon Chaney Jr. as the Wolfman, Bela Lugosi as Frankenstein's monster. Absolutely fantastic. Written by Kurt Soidmack. I think that's how it's said. I'm not sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of that.
And it follows Ghost of Frankenstein. Yeah. It follows the Ghost of Frankenstein, and it follows the Wolfman. And it starts off, Larry Talbot finds himself, well, 4 years after the events of the Wolfman and the Ghost of Frankenstein, two men break into the Talbot family crypt. See if they can get some
loot.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Thinking there's going to be something buried with all Larry.
Oh, there is.
Gold, gold watches and all the rest of it. That's what they're hoping for. And the thieves break in. There's loads of wolfsbane. They remove it. Moon touches his hand. Wakes up. kills the two thieves, rips the throats out, and off he trots to Cardiff, of all places.
Of course, Cardiff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Cardiff. He wakes up and he's like, he's had a head injury and all that, because obviously his dad had smacked him at the end of the Wolfman and all that. And then he discovers Frankenstein's frozen body, played by Bela.
Yeah.
Who's great in it, to be honest. And he ends up like, I want to find Frankenstein. I want to see if Frankenstein can end my life. And they go all the way over to Germany.
What, so they're a couple? They're travelling as a couple? I've not seen it.
All right.
So they're travelling as buddies?
Well, not buddies, but...
It's a road trip movie.
Road trip movie, yeah. Yeah.
Road trip.
Yeah. Woo!
Sean William Scott in it.
And they go looking for Frankenstein, who's dead, and the monster, and him and the monster, and they find Frankenstein's daughter, and they want his diary so they can, you know. And then there's the doctor from Cardiff, goes and finds him.
Dr. Jones.
Calling Dr. Jones.
I'm not very good with the Universal monster. It kind of passed me, well, before my time a little. But isn't it Boris Karloff that's the traditional monster, Frankenstein?
No. He was in the first two.
The first two, and then Bela Lugosi.
No. Lon Chaney.
Lon Chaney, right.
Then Bela.
Oh, so there's been a few.
Then Glenn Strange.
Karloff is that.
He's the iconic picture, isn't he?
Karloff's the one everybody thinks of.
Yeah. I think that's when I see the picture.
Karloff was Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I mean, he did stay in the... He did return. He was in there. I think it was either House of Frankenstein or House of Dracula.
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing Frankenstein. He was playing another character, and I can't think off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I should have done... I didn't think I'd get that question.
Every little bit of trivia.
So...
I'll see if I can catch you up.
So Talbot goes looking for the gypsy woman as well, from the Wolfman. Do you know the one who's Bela Lugosi's mum in the Wolfman? Because Bela Lugosi is the original Wolfman in the Wolfman.
Right.
And he attacks Chaney's Lawrence Talbot to turn him into the Wolfman.
Yeah.
And Bela gets killed.
Yeah.
Because he's playing a gypsy and he's a werewolf. He gets killed, and then obviously he goes into the story where Lon Chaney's the Wolfman.
Right.
I've seen it before.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
many...
When I was a kid, Hammer was the first horrors that I saw. Universal Monster...
Passed you by.
They weren't really on the telly by the time.
I advise you, that's a massive part of your film kind of history that you need to check out.
Yeah.
Because... still influence today.
Oh yeah, another.
And it's probably Universal's biggest moneymaker. Still.
Yeah.
And the Universal Monsters saved the studio.
Yeah, I know they're a big.
Look
at them now.
I think it was this film. I think it was Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Yeah.
That saved the studio.
Funnily enough, one of the films I'm talking about, something similar, very, very similar, happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yeah.
Was it not Tom Cruise's version of The Mummy that saved the studio?
No. Oh, God.
I've never seen it.
It's awful.
I've never seen it.
I'll be honest, I've tried to watch it 4 times. I fell asleep each time.
I don't want to watch it.
I thought it was rubbish.
I've not heard any good reports.
No, I watched it to the end, but it's just the way that they kind of tried to launch it as a star of a franchise with all the actors in the picture.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do this, we're going to have Tom Cruise, we're going to have Russell Crowe, we're going to have...
But it probably would have worked if Tom Cruise hadn't have taken control of the movie and made it into a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, but it was very action-based rather than kind of monster horror kind of...
Yeah. But quickly, talking about The Mummy, Brendan Fraser got a...
The Whale. Yeah.
I hope it's a massive hit for him.
Yeah.
The guy deserves it.
Yeah.
He looks like he comes across as a proper, genuine guy. I've always liked him.
Since California Man.
Yeah.
Or Encino Man.
Of course, it's by your favourite director, the director of Mother, Darren Aronofsky.
Well, yes, you know what I mean? I'm going to watch it just because of him, and he got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And he cried.
Yeah.
And you could see genuinely...
This was trending today, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could see genuinely it was... Yeah.
Good. He's back.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's not. But he's in Doom Patrol, isn't he?
Doom Patrol's ex.
But you don't see his face.
No. I mean, you do see him sometimes when it does show you stuff.
Flashbacks.
Yeah. And he's also in another one that he does, and it's a mercenary one with Dean Cain, and that's good.
Oh, right, okay.
TV show, and you see him all the time.
Spider-Man. Superman.
No, Dean Cain, Superman. Yeah, and it's good, and I quite enjoy it, and I can't remember its bloody name. Yeah. The Professionals.
All right.
Professionals or something like that, it's called. It's good, really good, enjoy it.
Was that not a show in the 80s?
Yeah, it was, but the, it's a different version. It's not that version. It's not that. It's not even to do with anything to do with...
I mean, I never watched it.
It's not prostitutes, mate.
Yeah,
right.
The pros. Anyways, back to the thing. So, the monster was supposed to talk through the movie, and they cut it all out.
Bela
Lugosi was
too smacked out of his head. No, just... Oh,
that's some allegation. people didn't like the monster talking.
No, I understand you don't want him talking. You don't know, not Frankenstein's monster.
No, I agree.
And it explained, there was supposedly a scene where they're around the fire, where he explains, you know, that he's blind because of the, you know, because they put the brain, that's why it's Bela Lugosi, one of the reasons it's Bela Lugosi, they put the brain of, I think it was Igor, from the Ghost of Frankenstein, which was Bela Lugosi's character, the hunchback.
Yeah.
Into Frankenstein, right. Into the monster. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, so that's the reasoning behind why he took over as the.
Well, not the reason, because his career was starting to slow down quite a bit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, one of the films I'm talking about later on was his last.
Yeah.
Starring role.
Yeah.
I just thought it was it's an excellent film. There is photos exist of the fireside chat, and Kurt von Sidmack confirmed by several sources that Universal Studios vaults there is an uncut pre-release version.
Really?
Right.
So that would be lovely if they could get that brought out.
Well, it's not like they won't want to make any money.
Bela Lugosi, right? Frankenstein's monster is only on the screen about 8 minutes in total, and only 5 minutes of that is Bela Lugosi.
Bloody hell!
All right.
Yeah.
It's like a stunt double or something.
Stunt doubles. Because it's mostly, you know, you don't see the monster a lot, but you would have probably, obviously you would have seen him more with the, if he was talking.
Yeah.
So, and there's some iconic fights with you know, the werewolf, well, the wolfman and Frankenstein's monster. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Is there a bit where they sit by a campfire having a beer? It's a road trip movie, I think.
That's what I'm just saying. It's been cut
after the blow of the horse.
Yeah, you see a bit, but where they're sitting around the fire, but you don't see them. The whole scene had been cut by this bit when the doctor and the Baroness, I think she's a Baroness, anyways, Frankenstein's daughter, comes up and they've got the gypsy woman with them, and you briefly see them sitting around a fire, and then Talbot gets up and goes and sees them. The poem from The Wolfman got changed slightly. So it's normally, even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. But for this movie, the ending was changed to, and the moon is full and bright.
Right.
So, just fantastic, man. Dwight Fry, who was obviously in the original Frankenstein, he played his little servant, Fritz.
Oh, right.
That's it, Fritz. And he played Carl in Bride.
Oh, right.
He was one of the Vazarian, that was it, Vazarian villagers.
Right.
He died in 1943.
Right, okay.
He was a great actor. Yeah, he was a great actor, Dwight Fry. The films he starred in. Do you know something? Three of the films we're talking about as well today have got Bela Lugosi in.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Just shows you how many films he was making.
Yeah.
yeah. That are still seen as iconic today. And back then, people were, you know, his star was on the wane.
Yeah.
Which was just a shame because he was such a great actor.
Oh, yeah, iconic actors.
You know what I mean? So, the dog Bruno in the film, the German Shepherd named Moose, who Lon Chaney Jr. adopted him.
Oh, right.
And he was the same dog that was used as the wolf in The Wolfman.
Right.
Oh, right.
So he ended up adopting him, which was quite cute. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just looking to see if I've got any more.
Fell in love with it,
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, dogs, that's
dogs it. And charming bastards, like. Yeah.
Didn't that happen?
Especially when they lick the balls.
Yeah, because Andrew Garfield and, what you call it, Emma Stone, adopted a dog out of Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that was one of my bits of trivia that you both forgot.
There we go. The lab equipment, you see, was used in the...
Sorry.
Was used from The Invisible Woman.
Cool.
And at the time, Lugosi wasn't in good physical health during shooting, so he's probably smacked out of his skull.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Allegedly.
That's what my lawyer says.
Yeah. And it was the only one in the series not to feature a hunchback assistant.
Mm. Right.
There's no assistant in it. And it was one of the original shock theatre package of the 52 Universal Monster movies that was released in 1957. When they onto TV,
right? Oh, okay.
For the first time in America,
right?
So, which was great, and then Son of Shock added 20 more films, and then this is the only film where the monster doesn't kill anyone,
right?
So, you know what I mean? Absolutely fantastic. It was originally going to be The Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, but it got changed, and fantastic film, absolutely fantastic. Loved it. So that's me with that one. Cool. So I'm going to pass on to the Wofster.
Cool beans.
You know what I mean? Igor Wolf.
Igor Wolf.
Master.
Yes, master.
So I'm going backwards a bit in time here.
Which I thought, we never thought we should have started with you.
Well, it's just the way we always do it. It doesn't really matter. This is the... I have the honour of doing the oldest film of the entire horror... Halloween special...
horror season, yes.
That's some accolade, mate. I would get that printed up and fucking put it on your wall.
Yeah, who's doing the new... Oh, you're doing
the
new
one. I'm doing the most modern. For a change.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a strange.
What's going on? It's like he's doing the oldest. It's not the oldest horror film, but it's the oldest in our horror season.
There can't be a lot before this one, though.
There's a few, but yeah.
So mine is Nosferatu, made in 1922, 100 years to this year. I was going to say to the day, but it's not because I've got the date that it was made. I think most people probably know the basics of it, but it's effectively the Bram Stoker's Dracula story, with different names, slightly different ending, stuff like it's set in Wisburg in Germany rather than Whitby, both being the W, so I could say
how can we make it just different enough?
Wisburg, yeah.
Would it have to be Germany? Yeah, Germany. Well, yeah.
Rather than Dracula, you've got Graf Orlok, or Count Orlok, and he wants to move to Wisburg. Hutter, who's kind of an estate agent based in Wisburg.
Harker.
Yes, Jonathan Harker in the original version, yeah, that's it. Again, not that far removed name-wise. He is sent across to Transylvania to help sort it. During there, he goes through some weird experiences. Anyone's familiar with the Dracula story knows it's a very weird time with Orlok. And then Orlok comes across in a boat in a coffin, similar to the original version again. And he takes a liking for Hutter's wife, Ellen, or was it Mina?
Mina.
That's what they're a bit different. Just to throw them off the scent, they really changed that one. They'll never get it now. So that's without giving any more away, in case you don't want any spoilers. That's the basics of it. Obviously, he kind of does a bit of blood sucking and kind of causes a bit of terror in Germany.
I'm just the photography and everything. F.W. Murnau. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, because
Murnau.
That's it.
The still of him.
Yeah,
going down the stairs.
Yeah, it's iconic,
with the shadow.
Yeah,
it's one of the best, most iconic bits of cinema.
There's so many iconic. There's so many iconic. Yeah,
I mean, you can't see what I'm doing there, but these guys know what I mean.
Big Sweat is walking down the corridors and the way he moves.
Like he's like fucking Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Especially when he was a moon dance.
Moon dance.
What's it called?
Moonwalk.
That's it.
Moon dance.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance. Da da la da la da da da. So do I.
La da da
da da da da da da. Sorry, go.
Is that real song?
Yeah.
Moon dance.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Van Morrison.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've never listened to
a
Van Morrison, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Brown Eyed Girls Van Morrison, isn't it?
Great tune.
Yeah.
That's the famous one.
That is the famous one, yeah. Love Is the Law.
Moon Dances is probably his second famous.
It's a jolly old tune.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good tune.
I'm playing after this, but go on.
So directed by F.W. Murnau, how it is.
Mate.
F.W. Murnau. I mean, he's dead now, but every single person involved in the production of this film will now be dead.
I
don't even know.
You don't so, would you?
But he died quite young. He died 42 in a car crash. So he didn't get to have a particularly long career.
I mean, Max Schrecker's Graf Orlok was fucking excellent.
Count Orlok, Max Schrecker. Yeah. He was brilliant. He's again iconic. Everybody recognises
his name in Batman Returns. Christopher Walken.
Batman Returns. Christopher Walken.
His characters.
Oh, is it based on
named after him?
Named after him. Oh no, of course. Oh right, yeah, got it up there. Right,
been a long time.
I've talked on that actually.
Aye.
Yeah.
Called Max Schreck, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He is.
You dickheads.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it seems so. I mean, I just thought he's like an iconic actor that played Nosferatu. But yeah, I've watched Batman Returns a fucking 100 times probably. So that's probably
never clicked.
Never clicked. No. Yeah, interesting.
So there you go.
You've got Count Orlok, Max Schreck. You've got Nock, who's basically Renfield from the original one. That's Alexander Grenache. And then Hutter, Gustav von Wangerem, who was basically Jonathan. Ellen's Greta Schroeder, who was obviously Mina. And then you've Professor Bauer, who was John Gotthold, who was Van Helsing in the original.
Yeah.
You're so fluent.
Yeah, I know.
Gustav Box.
you need to get some intervention in there, man. You know, no.
Well, I'm the one that gets told off when I'm doing, like, I'm abroad and I'm not putting the accent on. Or like, and I'm like, well, not, because it's like someone taking the piss, isn't it? I feel like if I'm doing that, as long as I say the right words in an English accent, I'm doing the right words. It's not like if somebody comes over here and tries to speak English to me doing a bad English accent, I'm like, well, you're taking the piss. But that's how you're meant to do it, apparently. But no, okay.
Come off a bit racist, though, mate.
Yeah, you
did. No, you didn't. I'm joking.
What's this? Everybody's
going to get. I'm fucking up. I've done it again.
Yeah.
It'll be fine, man.
You know, as long as it's just xenophobic.
Yeah.
Fucking French.
Good call.
I mean,
it's okay, I've covered myself.
I mean, let's be honest as well. We're lucky to still have this film, which I mentioned on my.
It's okay.
These things should be. Mike pops into the head. What am I supposed to do?
Very lad's done his research and he's still his funder.
So that was my first bit. All the reels were destroyed because. When they originally made the film, they, as I said at the start, they changed the names. It was always said that it was to avoid copyright, but they always said it wasn't that. It was a copyright infringement. It was because they wanted it to be relate to a German audience because it was a German film, so they renamed them all German names. Oh. Well, that doesn't really explain why Count Dracula was from Transylvania still had his name changed as well. But that was their story. They lost the lawsuit, and every original copy was destroyed.
Or supposed to have been destroyed.
Well, it's secondary copies that these are all made from, apparently.
Right.
Even the lost the subtitle version, the original subtitles, for ages until they found like a very old, kind of dusty copy somewhere, like about 60 years afterwards, that had the original subtitles on.
Mad, isn't it?
So they'd always had to put new subtitles on them.
I can remember when it came up when I was a kid, and it was one of those films that my dad was like, "You've got to see this, son."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it, you know what I mean? That it was the one who started getting us up to see the Universal Monsters and the RKO stuff and the Columbia stuff and stuff like that. He'd get me up to watch them, all these double bills that used to be on in the late 70s and all that, mid to late 70s. He'd get me up to watch them.
You
know what I mean? From. Reportedly, from what I've been told, from when I was just a baby.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
It explains a lot.
It does. It does. So if I was awake, as babies can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You'd take it in.
I was watching a film with my dad's knee.
See, I couldn't be more different in that respect. That my love for horror and sci-fi is the absolute polar opposite of my dad. My dad loved cowboy films, and that was it. Anything vaguely sci-fi or horror, it was like, it's just a bit strange, you're not into that kind of shit. It was just, he liked his cowboys, he liked his John Wayne, you know,
racist motherfucker. I bet your dad was wanting to beat that Indian up at the Oscars, wasn't he?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh yeah, when Marlon Brando goes,
it's all coming out now.
you said it earlier on as well.
Oh man, no.
The racist.
Oh, oh my God, I'm disappointed.
It's in your blood.
Yeah.
Racism's in your blood. It always was.
It's because it's a pure blood, isn't it?
Oh. Well, the master race.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
We're going down some dark places.
Yeah. We are.
You know, they say you get more far right as you get older.
Back to the waffles.
So it's selected in the Vatican as one of the 45 great films.
Deservedly so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a strange one for the Vatican, I thought, but that's cool. It was remade by Werner Herzog in 1979, and he described it as the greatest German movie of all time, the original. Not his own one that he made, because that would be a bit vain.
But here's, the Klaus Kinski one, he's fantastic. I've got the steel book. It's fucking fabulous.
I did actually watch that about 2 years ago.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Really
enjoyed
it. I'm trying to think, did I see... I seen that before I seen the original.
Well, I did as well, because I watched that one 2 years ago, and I've only watched the original for the first time the other day. So
But I bet you're blown away by the original.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those films I've always wanted to see, which is why I selected it for this, because I was like, this is going to push me to watch it.
Like myself, Woff's quite lucky, because he's got, is it 100-inch cinema screen in your house?
Yeah.
I've got 84. Poor Daz has just got a telly. But we're lucky because we get a decent, know what I mean?
When
we
watch, inch.
Well, it's still a good TV. I'm not slagging it. No, I'm just saying we're lucky because we have these cinema screens.
I use my tablet a lot.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do, depends how late on a night when I'm watching something. But if I'm down here, it's the cinema screen.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? When I get downstairs. Or I'm lucky, you know what I mean? I've now got my own, 200-inch screen.
Yeah.
Yes. Not in the house.
Not in the house, though. But, yeah. Which I'm sure I could be able to use any time I want. You know what I mean? So, we're lucky to see these on a decent size.
This is the thing. I kind of forget. It was a passion project. I built most of it myself about 2 or 3 years ago. My cinema. I converted that into a cinema room. Yeah, you inspired it.
Oh my god, I've never seen
a fucking
fishing rod out.
Every time I mention my cinema room, have you said that it was my room that inspired it? But yeah, no, it absolutely was.
Yeah,
I came around here and I was like, yeah, I need one of those myself. So it was a thing for like about probably 5 years after that, I think.
Yeah.
I actually got the garage, the new house, got the garage, and I was like, I'm going to fucking convert this. And just every night till like fucking, you know, 11 o'clock at night after work.
Hey, mate, the finished product, though.
Yeah, cheers. It's I'm so chuffed.
It's amazing.
But I forget how lucky I am.
Well, I've not seen it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Are you seeing it? I'm going to watch some films there.
Because obviously, you were still.
From there, podcast, right? Yeah. Is that when we're going to do top 10? When we're at Wolf's?
Well, weren't we just going to do those three films?
We're going to do three films and talk about them in between.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's it.
Sorry.
Right.
So
miles off subject there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah. So, yeah. It's great having a cinema room. That's the thing.
Yeah. Really.
So it was made on the 4th of March. Released on the 4th of March 1922. So it's basically 100 years and
six months
nearly. Yeah.
No, so, not quite 6 months.
Five months.
Six months.
Yeah. September now, is it? So yeah, 6 months. You're right. 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 100 and a half years.
100 and a half years.
There we go.
What a film. What a film.
And final bit. The Cactis and Arava castles were used for the castle scenes. These were the residence of Countess Elizabeth Bathory, who...
Countess Dracula.
Who was... Dracula was inspired by, as she was known to have killed and tortured hundreds of women between 1590 and 1610. And use their blood to retain youth.
Bathed in the blood of virgins.
And that's where Bram Stoker got his idea from. Huh?
Well, her and
Whitby Castle.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's what
Vlad the Impaler.
Yes, and Vlad the Impaler as well. Whitby Castle, Vlad the Impaler, and the person whose name I just said and I've forgotten. I should change the page.
Countess Bathory.
That's the one.
I know that.
Yeah, I did too. I just forgot.
Right then,
so to Daz.
All right, okay, yeah, all right, okay. So I'm starting in 1932. So 10 years after Little Woffy Woff Woff.
My first film was 11 years after him.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm going to give you the opening, like title screen first.
Go on then.
So I took a picture of it because I thought it was quite dramatic. And I'm going to do it in a dramatic voice. Building up to it. Oh, Amun Ra, oh, God of gods, death is but the doorway to new life. We live today, we shall live again. In many forms shall we return, O mighty one.
Well, I was scared.
I'm shitting in my pants.
Yeah. I'm not scared. Oh, I took it out of me that. I'm scared myself, like, yeah. Right, so I'm starting with 1932, The Mummy.
Just brilliant.
We're going back to the old Universal Monsters. The Mummy was always one that I remembered, and I haven't watched again until yesterday.
Well, and it'll be a couple of years since I last watched it, because I've got the sets, I've got the box sets and that kind of thing.
I think you've got more of a connection with the Universal Monsters than Woff or I.
I've got, just because, you know what I mean, I think I've said it before, I feel our generation was the last generation of proper monster kids.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because you got to see some of them on TV. Not a lot of them, but you've seen some of them. You've seen the gorilla, you know what I mean? And you've seen
gorilla. It was mainly Hammer, as I say. It was Hammer.
Yeah, mostly Hammer for you. But
I suppose mine, Dracula and Frankenstein and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. Because Daz didn't really watch them. No. For the kids like me,
yeah,
it was we got to see them black and white films, the Atomic Age stuff. After that. And then, you know, the AIP stuff, the Hammer stuff,
yeah,
you know, the Roger Corman stuff, and then right the way up, and I can, you know, and everyone's, you know, it seems like a lot of folk like myself, the first video they ever seen was Dawn of the Dead.
Mm.
But mine was, I can remember coming home, and I've told the story so many times on these podcasts, so you all know it. To new people, I came home, we didn't have a video player, came home, there was a video player, and my dad was just putting on Dawn of the Dead.
Cool.
Sit down,
first
son.
First movie.
First film on a VHS, sit down, son, you'll enjoy it.
I have to tell you my first movie on a VHS that we had, The Incredible Journey.
Nice, bit of Disney.
I remember stuff like Land Before Time and the Doug McClure specials. Those are what I remember.
Gotta love a Doug McClure film.
We'll have
to do a Doug McClure.
I want that.
God, it's a long time since I watched it, but there used to be so much stuff when I was a kid. I remember the Land that Time Forgot, wasn't
brilliant.
It?
And,
yeah.
Have you
seen Monster?
No, I don't think.
Only the one with Chalice.
This was from I think it was 1980, and it's a Roger Corman one, and there's these, I think it's basically a remake of The Horror on Party Beach, and these monsters come out of the sea and rape women. It's the rapiest creature feature you'll ever see, and Doug McClure is in it.
Punching
monsters and that, and fighting them. Guns and that. Oh, it's great. There was only about two or three. They only had, I think, it was two suits or three suits.
Right.
But they look like the way they've shot it. It looks like there's loads of these monsters, but there's three suits.
Brilliant.
I always loved the way that Simpsons, when I first started watching the Simpsons, that they had the character
Troy McClure,
and I was like, fucking, that's a nod to, they didn't even change his second name. We'll just keep McClure and just go.
It's the ultimate accolade, though, isn't it?
You didn't see that The House Where Evil Dwells. That's a Doug McClure one.
Yeah, I don't know if
it was an 80s one. I think I've got it on VHS somewhere. I think it's one Warner Brothers.
Right.
Fucking great, man. Aye, that was Doug McClure as well.
Is he still alive?
I don't know, to be honest.
I'll just run through a few people. You've got Boris Karloff at his best as Imhotep, and he's brilliant.
I wouldn't say at his best.
I think he's fucking great in this.
He's fantastic. He's absolutely brilliant. Everything about him,
he's just menacing.
But I think Frankenstein, for me,
we were saying that before. That's the iconic image of Carlo.
But just everything about what he did, which is still seen synonymous with the monster now.
The bolts through the neck, the big head. That's the
that was Jack Pierce.
Was that not Carlo? Did he not bolt through his neck?
No, but I'm saying the way Karloff was, way acted.
Yeah.
It's still synonymous. When you see Frankenstein's monster, most of the time you see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way.
I mean, he's slow moving and everything in this as well.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't gnash about.
No.
he's very, you know.
It's all very.
It's very somber in it.
It's all very calculated, isn't it?
But anyway, you've got him as Imhotep. Zita Johann as Helen Grosvenor. David Manners as Frank Wemple. Arthur Byron as Sir Joseph Wemple. What a great name that is. Edward von Sloan as Dr. Muller. Bramwell Fletcher as Ronald Norton.
You know, von Sloan was Dracula as well. He played Van Helsing in Dracula.
Ah. Well, they had a stable of characters, didn't they?
Well, they did, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was in Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And he was in Dracula's daughter as well.
Well, there you go, you know.
You know what I mean?
Go-to. And another go-to, this guy actually pops up in two of my films. There's only a year between my films. Noble Johnson. What a fucking name that is. I might adopt it.
Who's the Johnson now,
Johnson.
King.
Yeah, King.
Yeah.
Sorry, in joke. You know.
Yeah. So you got Noble Johnson in there as I don't like this, the Nubian.
Yeah. Nubian.
That's his title, the Nubian.
Right.
He's basically is blacked up.
Yeah. Oh right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But he also is in the next film I'm going to talk about.
Sure. I know, but it was basically, you know what I mean? It was the old blackface.
Yeah.
Right,
which
right,
is
right.
know. When you look at it, you're like, oh man. Well, it just looks so bad, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
But you know, it was. It is of the time, and that's what happened. That's what they did.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, you've got Catherine Byron in there as well as Frau Muller.
Yeah.
Now she makes yogurts.
Yeah.
And so, premise of the story: if you don't know it, when scientists discover Imhotep's mummified body, they inadvertently bring him back to life. Then the mummy goes on a bit of a, well, quite a subtle rampage to get this bird that he's convinced is his princess. And, it's good.
But you don't want to give the spoiler.
No, I'm not going to.
No.
I can't take it any further than that.
No, you can't really, because, well, I mean, you can, because it's
fucking nearly 100 years old.
So go for it.
Just fucking 90 years old.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to go. I'm not, no.
Well, I'm going to.
It's watching your films.
It's an hour and 13 minutes of your life. It's a good hour and 13
minutes. It's fantastic.
You should watch it.
I mean, it says the mummy.
Yeah, he's not really as the mummy.
He's not.
Apart from the start of the film.
No.
He's like some big Egyptian guy, Ardoth Bey, which is an anagram of Death by Ra.
There you go.
The sun god.
Oh, right, okay.
Also, one of the little bits of trivia there. I think Karloff's absolutely menacing in it.
Oh, he's fantastic as Ardoth Bey.
The direction, the way his eyes light up and everything. You know what I mean? You've watched it. Last 24 hours.
I mean, Karloff was.
But you see, like, dull eyes.
Was a master of his craft.
Yeah, but the cinematography as well, his dull eyes, and he sort of opens them a bit wider, and they just fucking start shining. I thought it was beautiful.
Got beautiful eyes.
Beautiful eyes. Oh yeah, Boris Karloff. Oh yeah. Boris,
leave him alone for a minute.
Boris, is it Karloff or Johnson? Oh, I don't care. You're going to fuck me either way.
Boris Johnson, what an absolute fool of a man.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's not go past
I'll give you a bit of trivia. Boris Karloff was virtually unknown when he appeared as the creature in Frankenstein. And he created such a sensation that when it was made, only a year later, Universal had to advertise Karloff the mummy. That was it.
Yeah.
That was their advertising strategy.
And it was like that after Dracula with Lugosi.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then they'd put them both together in films.
Yeah.
Umpteen times, and it was great. But I mean, Karloff was the better actor.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Lugosi wasn't a one-trick pony. He just got stereotyped because of his Hungarian accent, but mostly.
Well, I suppose it's
and the smack addiction.
Well, yeah,
allegedly.
I suppose it's like me picking up on the hammer thing later.
No,
it's like,
not allegedly. He had smack addiction.
I know.
with the hammer, obviously, which introduced me to horror. Like, I love Peter Cushing more than anybody else, but obviously also Christopher Lee. So they'd often be in separate films, but when they're in one together, it was like, the two of them together.
I mean, when Cushing died,
yeah,
it was the first time I'd ever got kind of a little bit upset over a celebrity dying, because I'd just watched that many of his films, and you just kind of
so much,
and there was just, I don't know, and you'd see him in interviews and stuff like that.
He was such a lovely guy,
and you just kind of felt like he was that kind of old kind of uncle.
Well, he's like, you know what I mean? His character was...
Or your granddad's brother, you know what I mean? He was nice, and you could imagine him being... If kids went up to him, he'd be dead nice to them and stuff like that.
You know his character in Tales from the Crypt?
Yes.
I envision him being a bit like that. Just this kindly old gent that kind of was friendly with the kids.
Not that friendly with the kids. Peter Cushing.
Oh, Jesus.
That man is with kids.
I know.
That man is a saint.
I know. It's him. He's making it creepy.
He's making it creepy. He says he's friendly with the kids.
I remember as a kid when we lived on Springfield Road in Harraby. There was an old bloke who lived in the first Caldy. In an old pensioner's kind of bungalow.
Right.
And he used to build model ships.
Right, yeah.
And that's how I imagined Peter Cushing, because this old bloke was lovely. Yeah. And if you were ever passing and he was on the front, and he'd there was nothing, he'd let you, do you want to come and have a look at me model, lad? No, there was nothing ever like that. And you would, and you'd see, and then I remember he died, and it was very sad.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, because he would, and he made these beautiful, like, battleships and stuff like that.
Yeah, this is,
and that's how I kind of, in my Peter Cushing would, in real life, was kind of that.
Yeah, I see. Any interview I'd seen, it was lovely. I think he's like that Jim will fix it that he did. I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah,
where he got a rose named after his wife, because she'd passed away and he missed her so much. It was just so nice. He was so in love with her.
He was. He absolutely adored her.
As soon as she went, he just wanted to go as well. I think he just kind of gave up, and then he wasn't.
Well, his last film he did was Biggles.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Do you want to be a hero?
See, you've talked about Biggles before. Have you?
Yeah. No, not fully, but it's been mentioned.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I watched it at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll give you one last bit of trivia on The Mummy, because I really like this one.
Yeah.
The film's poster holds the record for the most money paid for a movie poster at auction.
Yeah.
It made £453,500.
Right.
Dollars, sorry.
That's
I'm not going to do the currency conversion, but I reckon it'll be about...
I don't think you've done your research.
I reckon it'll be about 328
based on today's
pounds. I've gone on straight today's.
Sainsbury's, all right.
This isn't yesterday's. No, this is mine.
You're on. All right, okay.
So there you go. Over to me, Dave.
Over to me with my next film. And I'm going... Dicking with a bit of Lugosi. You know what I mean? 1943. This came out the back end of 43, whereas my first film, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, was kind of middle-ish.
Well, you've got to make sure they're in...
Chronological order.
You're doing all the new ones today. Like, what's with you, all the new films today?
I have got the new ones, the news boys. Return of the Vampire, 1943... American horror film directed by Lou Landers. Bela Lugosi's in it. Nina Foch, I think that's how you say it. And Matt Willis. And it follows.
Out of busted. Married to Emily.
Been to Luger 3000. That's what I go to school for.
He's aged really well, I've got to say that.
That boy?
Yeah.
And is Emma Willis?
Oh, fit.
You know what I mean?
Band-tidy.
Yeah, she is band-tidy. It follows vampire named Armin Tesler, and he encounters like an English woman, Lady Jane Ainslie, in First World War, and is preying on a lot of people around. There's been murders, and then he ends up preying on their daughter, and that's when Lady Jane and the doctor decide, we've got to fucking sort this shit out, let's go and find Armin Tesler. And they find him, stake him, and then and he's got he's
I love it.
You like that?
I fucking love that sound.
You know what I mean? And then it also the soul of his servant, who's a wolf man, which is, I just thought that was brilliant when I first saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was just Bela Lugosi, basically Dracula, with a wolf man servant.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was fantastic, and that's why it's my favourite Bela Lugosi film.
Right.
World War II comes around.
Yeah.
Which is about 23 years later. Bombs drop on the cemetery where he's buried.
And wake him.
Well, no, uncovers the grave.
Right.
The usual couple of grave robbers come by. Well, no, they're not grave robbers, actually. They come to sort the graves out.
All right, okay.
Rebury everybody and check for damage and stuff like that. He's got a spike in him. Yeah. So they pull it out.
All right, yeah.
So she said.
That's what she said. And
good one.
Been a while.
Shit starts up again.
That's what she said.
Shit starts up again. And he disguises himself as what's his bloody name? I'm trying to think what his name is. He disguises himself as another doctor who's escaped from Nazi Germany concentration camp.
Right.
And he's been brought over, and that's what the Lady Jane Ains has been doing in World War II and things like that. He's rescuing folk from Germany, helping scientists get over here and stuff like that. As I say, shit kicks off again. And he goes after the girl again, Nina Foch, who a lot of folk will remember her from. She was in Spartacus.
All right.
What else was she in? My bloody stupid brain. And I can't think what else she was in.
That's not
Spartacus.
Your brain, mate. That's old age. It's old age.
Yeah.
You get used to it, mate.
Ten Commandments.
All right.
Spartacus. She's done a bit of NCIS.
Oh, but that's a bit of a change.
Yeah, yeah. Just shoot Dharma and Greg.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she died.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, I like Dharma and Greg. I like that. She was in Alien Nation as well. Murder, She Wrote.
Right. The TV series or the film in Alien Nation?
TV show.
I love the film. That was James.
The TV show was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
She was in some Murder, She Wrote as well.
Right.
Tales of the City. Oh, I mean, she was just in all. Dear John, The Hunter.
Dear John.
Skin Deep. Do you remember Dear John? Dear John, the USA.
Dear
John. Do. Now I've gone. Do.
Life goes on.
Yeah, she was in Nomads with Piers Brosnan. If you've never seen that, that's worth a watch.
Right.
From 1986.
Is that a spy film?
No. She was in Kolchak, The Night Stalker.
I remember that.
Yeah. She was in which episode was she in? I can't think what episode she was in. She played Madame Trevi in that. Hawaii 5-0. McLeod. I mean, she's just been in some Gunsmoke.
What, the Highlander thing?
No.
Was she?
McLeod,
no, that
was the Western
Highlander
thing.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was she Bonanza?
She was in Bonanza as well.
I just said Bonanza. When you were saying, well, she's been, I said Bonanza early on before, just off the top of my head as a laugh, and she was actually in it.
She played one of the Cartwrights, Clarissa.
Oh, one of the Cartwrights as well.
She was in Dr. Kildare.
That's totally random, that.
Route 66, The Outer Limits.
Outer Limits.
You know, she's just been in so much stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean.
But this was no, you probably don't. She was in the 1959 Ten Little Indians. But
racist.
Don't try and wiggle like racist hole.
Don't put that on me. But no, she's just been in so many great films. And this was her first. This was her first film.
Right.
And it's absolutely excellent. And I thoroughly enjoy it. It was a Columbia film, and as I say, it was going to originally be a Dracula. It was going to be the Return of Dracula, obviously, but they couldn't get the rights, and right. Universal were going to sue them, so they just changed the names.
Fair play.
So it is basically a Dracula film.
Yeah.
And it is excellent.
Universal owned the rights to Dracula, which is like obviously a really old book. They actually like just
don't.
I mean, I suppose that's how it works.
Well, no, it's because nowadays there's been other.
Well, there's been the
Dracula.
BBC did one a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So
you know what? The first two episodes of that were great.
I agree. The first two were great.
And the last
one was so bad.
It was just no.
That's what everybody said. So I didn't watch it.
The first two were great. I would watch the whole thing again.
Nah.
I would.
I just think it didn't climax in the third.
No, I thought the whole concept of the third one.
Yeah, because it was modern day, wasn't it?
Yeah, spoiler, it was like the third one. If you don't want to know anything, don't listen. But on the third one, they suddenly brought it into modern day Whitby. And you said, what? It was pretty much the original, but like a few tweaks. But
it was good. It was gory. It was well acted.
And then suddenly it's Dracula in a fucking nightclub.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, Dracula in a nightclub. It was a bit fucking. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. Scenes of Return of the Vampire were used in Number of the Beast video by Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
The werewolf makeup again was used in the Wolfman makeup was used in The Werewolf. That was used in The Werewolf in 1956. And obviously, the BBFC weren't happy with the camera shot of Armour Tesla melting under the rays of the sun at the end. And the particular scene was censored before the film was released in Britain.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah. Typical BBFC. Oh. Yeah. Wankers. Oh. Just excellent. Everything about the film is fantastic. I thought it was the last film that Bela Lugosi was headline as well.
Oh, yeah.
As the headlines act on it, which was a shame. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It made about 500,000 at the box office.
Oh, it'd been a lot for them.
On about an investment of 75,000.
That's more than that, can
you? Lugosi was paid about $3,500 for 4 weeks' work.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic film. If you have it's out on Blu-ray as well. Get yourself. I just picked up my copy from Film Treasures.
Right.
Filmtreasures.co.uk. Get yourself on there. They've got loads of stuff, but they've got everything I think we talk about as well. Maybe right. By the Gorilla.
Right.
I picked up the Blu-ray recently, and just fantastic print and everything from Screen Factory. You've got to have a multi-region player.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Brilliant. Go hire it. Go get it.
Find it.
And as I say, it was also there was clips of it used in Nick Knight or Midnight Cop. I've got it up there had Rick Springfield as a cop who was a vampire. And then it got made into a TV show.
Right.
Midnight
Cop.
No, called.
What did you call it?
It was called, the TV show was called, oh man,
Captain Fang.
No. I think it was called Nick Knight.
Right. Okay.
I can't remember what it was bloody called, and I've got it on my YouTube playlist as well, because all episodes on YouTube are excellent.
Nick Knight is also the name of a former England opening batsman from like the late 90s.
Right. Jeez, there we go.
We don't follow them
hoity-toity
sports.
Yeah.
Cricket.
And there's a fourth wall break as well.
Right.
At the end, the police inspector looks at the audience and asks them if they believe in vampires. Do you believe in vampires?
Oh, nice.
Because it's all taken from the case books and all that.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic film. Return of the Vampire. Columbia Pictures. Just go and buy it. Watch it. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Wafster.
That's before I go on. That's just reminded me of a story I heard. It's from another podcast, but I don't want to reference the podcast. But someone wrote in to say that, on the subject of breaking the fourth wall, said that when they were kids, the first horror film they ever saw was The Shining, and one of them, I think they'd fallen asleep. They were just kids. They were just young. They were a bit, you know, scared.
Were they twins?
Possibly. Wearing dresses. But one of them fell asleep and woke up. Just as, you know, Jack Nicholson's at the bar, and the barman's there that isn't Lloyd.
Lloyd,
he's suddenly he's woken up. He's watched like 2 minutes of it, and suddenly Jack Nicholson looks at the camera and goes, "Hi, Lloyd." And the kid was called Lloyd.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just woke up, and Jack Nicholson turned to him and went, "Hi, Lloyd." And he absolutely shat himself.
Brilliant.
That was a brilliant way to watch Shining for the first time.
Loving this. Onto the Wafster.
Yep. So my second one is one that because I hadn't seen a lot of films in those 20s, 30s, 40s, but this one was one that I did watch when I was a kid. And it's not a particularly famous one, but I remember it being on Channel 4 late at night, and it was advertised loads. It was just like, I remember it being like kind of this like loads of trailers for it, and it's not famous. It didn't get great reviews, I don't know why Channel 4 hammered it so much, but they got me with it. I totally watched it and I loved it. So I watched it the other day again, and it's good. It's good fun, and it's from 1939, and it's The Gorilla, and it's basically about a wealthy businessman called Lionel Atwell.
Who's Lionel Atwell is the actor,
is it? Oh right, I've got the next one on the thing. Okay.
Because Lionel Atwell is another one who was in a few of the films we've talked about as well.
He was in The Stable. I know what I mean.
So, a wealthy businessman.
Getting shagged by a horse.
A wealthy businessman, played by Lionel Atwell. Editing. And he's threatened by renowned killer, the Gorilla. And basically he hires three private investigators, and these are played by the Ritz brothers, who were kind of a version of the Marx brothers, just kind of three bumbling idiots, the Stooges, the Marx brothers, that kind of three idiots kind.
Yeah, there was quite a few of them back in them days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean even stuff like, you know, Aaron Costello or Laurel and Hardy were all that kind of same kind of, it's a duo or a three of them. It's that, like a collection of people kind of hitting each other over the head with planks and stuff. It's funny, it's good, it's easy. I don't suppose they're one of the iconic ones that you remember now, but I remember particularly enjoying them in this. So they're hired to kind of protect him, figure out what's going on, and he goes missing pretty early on as soon as they turn up. And after that point, it's kind of a like a whodunit kind of thing. Where's he gone? Who's doing this? And there's a gorilla running around the house, and there's new characters introduced, and they're all kind of a bit shifty. And you've got Bela Lugosi playing like the
butler.
Yeah.
Now wait there. Can I just clear something up?
Yeah.
Is this an actual gorilla, or is it
a man in a suit?
No. I meant like a gorilla. Gorilla?
Yeah.
Like warfare?
No, a gorilla as in.
Alright, okay. Yeah. So clear.
Like an ape.
Where's he? What the? Can I even know what you've been smoking tonight? Jesus. It's just a vape. Genius.
And it's. Basically, just it's like a whodunit. It's kind of like what happened to him, what's going on. Introduced to all these interesting characters, and you kind of, could it be them, and what's going on? It's good fun, and it's full of humour, because you've got, you know, the Ritz brothers kind of getting hit over the head, you know, falling over and stuff, and that kind of stuff. It's just funny, and like slapstick humour, and
quite bumbling and
serious.
It's great.
The three idiots, really, and they're just kind of.
I mean, I watched it tonight. Well, this afternoon, and it's been the first time I've watched it.
Yeah,
probably in 40 years.
Yeah, well, it'll be about 30 years for me, I think.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was great fun, fantastic. Yeah.
It's an hour long, so you can't, if you've got an hour, you know, and you want to watch like an old classic.
And I'll let you. Do you want to say what I said earlier on about it?
About
Bella.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, as you said before, he's a good guy.
Yeah,
I mean, actually, that's a spoiler, isn't it? But I mean, it's so old.
It's not
really,
you know what I mean? It's
not really, mate.
Fuck 1939.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If they haven't seen it, we're talking about it. But all the way through the film, it kind of alludes
to
the butler did it.
Inspired to watch it now. Knowing that Bela Lugosi is a good guy, because how the fuck's he going to pull that off?
Yeah. Well, all through the film, it kind of. It's the butler did it, and he's all menacing and all that. But, sorry.
Yeah, well that's that kind of build up. I mean, it's like every time someone's left in a room with Bela Lugosi, they're kind of like, oh, I hope you're the only one left in here. Everyone's left me with you.
It plays to exactly why he got typecast.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Everything that he's done previously and his persona are hammed up and used to
brilliant kind of comedy effect.
The effect, yeah, exactly, yeah, and it. And it works really well, and it's a lovely comedy. It's a horror comedy, isn't it? And it's a
jolly nice, little film.
A nice horror comedy with some good slapstick humour, some good kind of like whodunit. Yeah. I want to say murder mystery, but it isn't really murder. It's just kind of it's like where's he gone and what's really going on.
If you're listening and you want to show you've got young kids and you want to show them something like Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Then. That's another ideal one for them to watch. The Gorilla.
It's on YouTube as well. It's an hour long. Yeah. It's on YouTube.
An hour long is nothing, is it?
Pretty easy to watch.
Yeah, pretty. Just put The Gorilla in 1939, it comes up, full movie.
Not 1969 or 69. The Gorilla 69. Don't ever put that in.
Have you put that in? Did you put that in after 3 minutes?
It was an accident. I was looking for armadillos.
Oh, man. I was looking for armadillos. But. Yeah,
it's directed by Alan Dwan.
Good pronunciation again.
Dwan, made of potato.
Goodbye.
And and he didn't do a lot of films I'd really heard of, but one that I think you'll all go, oh, he did that. He did the original Brewster's Millions.
Oh, he did that.
Yeah, directed.
I've seen that.
I have.
Years ago. But yeah, I love the
Richard Pryor
one.
Oh, yeah, if ever I see
the Richard Pryor one, it's one of those films, if you see it on,
it's a feel good movie.
You know what I mean? Really that was directed by Walter Hill.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Warriors.
Okay.
That took you by surprise.
Yeah. That'll be after Warriors.
Yeah. But no, I think it's excellent. John Candy's brilliant in it.
Yeah, John Candy's awesome.
You know what I mean? Just a great little film, Brewster's Millions. But I don't think it gets the love it deserves.
No, well, I suppose not, really.
You never hear people talking about Brewster's Millions.
It was like a big film when I was growing up, and just one of those classic. It was always on the telly, and I just watch it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, everyone loves
it. From the kind of late 80s onwards, it was always on the telly.
Yeah, it's just one that never gets played anymore. You're right.
No, I watched it on TV maybe a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's usually on ITV.
I've got it on DVD. I know we have.
I have myself. It's usually on, I've got it on Blu-ray actually. It's usually on one of the
TCM or something.
ITV.
Oh, right. Okay.
2, 3, or 4.
I mean, it's a daytime movie.
Oh, yeah. It's usually through the day.
Yeah. I'll have to keep an eye out for it.
And
it stars the Ritz Brothers. So they actually did 14 movies together in the end. Such as classics as We're in the Army Now and Three Musketeers. I've not seen any of their other films.
Would you?
Do you know something? I think I wouldn't mind checking out. Yeah. I can't. Maybe if I sit and watch them, I'll go, oh yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
You know, because back when we were kids, half the time you didn't have a clue what you were watching, but you just watched it.
Yeah,
that's it.
You know what I mean? Especially when when Channel 4 first kicked off.
Yeah, we didn't have the information.
And they had all them black and white films through the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, this was the thing with me. I always remembered this film, and I've since found out what it was, but either of you recognise it, that I watched when I was a kid. It was a black and white film. It was a gangster film. And it was, and at the end, the criminal, the gangster, is caught by the police, and that they tell him just before he gets the chair
about his mother dying.
No, he has to. And they say there's a kid that's really looking up to you, and he's got to be a gangster. But can you pretend to be scared just so it stops him for looking up to you so much? If you go in, because he's ready for it. He's like, I don't care. I'm just going to die. But so they fought. So he goes. No, you can't.
I know what it is, but I can't think of the bloody name.
And I end up googling it recently. And I watched it, and it's James Cagney, Angels with Dirty Faces.
That's it.
As you say, it's exactly that. When I was a kid, I watched that. Had no fucking idea what it was.
Because that was remade.
Did
it? With De Niro and Sean Penn.
Oh right.
I think.
Right. Yeah, no.
I'll look it up.
I think you could be right. You could be right. I would know.
Yeah, Daz is going to look it up anyways while you continue talking about.
Yeah. The three Ritz brothers are Al Ritz, Jimmy Ritz, and Harry Ritz, and they're obviously really three brothers. you've other Patsy Kelly, she's the kind of I don't know what she's one of the people that works in the house. I don't know what she a position would be, but she
I think she's like the housekeeper.
Housekeeper. She was in Rosemary's Baby and Freaky Friday. I did recognise her from other stuff, obviously a bit older.
Yeah, but she's got that, you know, that has a lot in, you know, the shrill.
Her voice is very. They had that a lot
in a lot of you know, these comedies and things like that.
It's just her voice kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Come on. So,
well,
I'll stop doing that.
I'm not finding a straight remake.
Yeah.
Of
just
Angels
a gay remake.
I must be wrong.
It must be something else.
We're No Angels.
That's the that's Sean Penn and Robert
De Niro. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah, so that's like a prison one. This is like a gangster one.
Yeah. That's what. Sorry. Yeah. No, just the title. I'm thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
We're a million miles away from
we're not that far away, but
we're all good.
It's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah.
What we do. You've got so that's the cast, and Bela Lugosi wasn't an original choice, which is surprising. It was Peter Lorre originally.
Can't be Albin Lorre.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it? Lorre.
Yeah.
Lorre.
Hello, you. R-I-E.
No.
L-O-R-R-E.
Peter Lorre.
Lorre.
Peter Lorre. That's all, yeah, Peter Lorre.
So it's one of those things, names, isn't it? So Michael, for my entire life, I've always pronounced him Michael Bane from Terminator into Aliens.
But it's Michael Bane.
It's Bane, isn't it? Yeah.
Bane.
So, film was delayed by a month as the Ritz Brothers' dad died. Good old 20th Century Fox, God, I love them, sued them for $150,000.
Oh, well, threatened to sue them.
IMDb said that they did sue them.
Oh, right.
What, breaching the contract.
Jesus Christ, like a dirty bastard.
And all they were doing was just, you know what I mean, grieving the dad.
Yeah, a month.
Dirty bastards.
It was a month. That's just died.
Well, that's it. Well, you know, in that month, I've got to, you know what I mean, got to bury him and stuff like that.
Salt
the
estate.
Yeah,
grieve. But it just shows, doesn't it? Cutthroat industry. Yeah.
Corporations, man.
Well, yeah.
America is, like, pretty bad for shit like that.
Well, that was the Ritz Brothers' last film with 20th Century Fox because of that.
Well, you wouldn't want to go back with them, would you?
No.
Fuck you.
Yeah. That was it. They'd done that film because they were contracted to do it, and that was it.
Yeah. But this was back in the days of where studios owned the actors, didn't they? It was just kind of groomed them, actors and actresses. They just kind of
groomed them.
That's what they did.
Yeah,
that's it. Like all these
they'd get them from a stage school.
Yeah,
and then just that's it.
You're with us now.
Yeah. They'd give acting lessons, dance lessons,
singing,
clown lessons.
Yeah.
Singing, everything.
Yeah, back in them days you had to do a bit of everything to be a big...
That's it. So. And there were so many were contracted to one studio for like three or four films. Or some were just contracted for the whole of their careers.
Yeah, that's it. And so actually pulling out of a contract was a big thing back then. I mean, now, you know, actors just flip
pulling out
studios.
She said.
They failed to. The film. The people who owned the film failed to renew the copyright, so it's fallen into public domain, which is why you can now watch it on YouTube
for free.
For free.
And it was the fifth remake.
Oh yes, it was.
Fifth remake
of the gorilla.
Yeah, there was the gorilla. Then the gorilla, then the bat whispers, then the octopus, then the gorilla,
right,
which we've just talked about.
And then the gorilla versus the octopus.
The octopus is the best one, definitely, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The octopus.
The octopus.
He's heard us.
Which is just mental.
I've just got visions of exactly the same film, but with an octopus tentacle instead of a gorilla arm, because there's lots of gorilla arms coming out of cupboards. In the
killer room. Octopus?
Yeah.
And a villain called the Octopus.
Yeah, oh my.
So
you could just, yeah, that's it, you just swap them.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just mental. But yeah, fantastic. I really enjoyed that. I must admit, watching it again today.
It was good fun. I enjoyed going back to it. It brought back my childhood. So yeah, I'd recommend anyone watching if they want to watch an old movie that's an easy to kind of get into, kind of an older film that you kind of put off a bit by the black and white or something. Watch. It's an hour long. It's on YouTube.
I've had a great day today because I've sat and watched. Last night I watched Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Then Return of the Vampire.
That was the most Carlisle accented Nosferatu ever.
Nosferatu.
An XL crisps.
I've been eating XL cheese crisps. That's it. Cheese XLs. So Nosferatu, then Return of the Vampire, and I think it was The Mummy.
Yeah.
King Kong. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. I finished.
Did you do in chronological order?
No.
Oh, it sounded almost like you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I kind of dipped about a bit. Finished off with The Gorilla.
Cool.
And it's took me back to me, you know, late 70s childhood.
Yeah.
Nice. When I was watching all these films and just thoroughly enjoying them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's nice to do that. I was doing that. I was rewatching the Carry On films recently for a similar kind of thing. Just I remember watching them when I was a kid, and it's just nice to just kind of just go back to that kind of nostalgia that you get from watching an old film that you remember.
Christmas Martian.
Yeah, that's a big one for you, isn't it?
Martian, man. Yeah. Every year, I posted up on the group.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will be adding it to the Carlisle Cult Cinema Club YouTube channel this year.
Bro.
Deserves to be up there.
Yeah.
With all our stuff.
Oh yeah.
So you can watch it at home.
I've had the pleasure of watching it.
Never again. Never again.
It says it all.
Do you know what? I might show it on a double bill with a Christmas film this year.
Can you show it first?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll turn up there.
I'm sure if I watched it when I was a kid, I'd have loved it. I really would. I could see why as a kid you'd love it.
Yeah. Over to Dazzle, anyways.
Right,
I think that's you done, is it?
It is, sorry, yeah, Dazzle.
Yeah, it's all right.
Can I have a blast from your vaporizer?
Of course you can.
I'm a cheeky bastard with
that. No,
it's fine. I'm trying to give up the vape.
I think you should maybe put some juice in it, though. Yeah. Right, anyway.
You know, juicy juice.
Yes, so I've
juicy juice.
I've taken a picture of this opening scene as well, because it's a good one. But this is a 1933 absolute Stone Cold classic. Monster movie, and it's King Kong.
Let's just put it straight. That and Godzilla are the two greatest monster movies of all time. Giant monster movies, that is.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, you know, ridiculously big monsters.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
The opening scene.
I've got to say Godzilla because you know my love of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
It's got some Godzilla shit.
It's hard to get the kind of like sarcasm when I say it. Surrounded by Godzilla, he clearly loves Godzilla.
You know, surrounded by a few bits, to be honest.
Yeah. Anyway, I took a picture of the opening caption for this one as well, and I'm going to do it in another dramatic voice, but slightly different. And the prophet said.
Now it's the emperor.
Why does that sound like fucking some of that from an Iron Maiden track?
Do you not think it was the emperor? That's
how I was told. The emperor.
I'll start again.
Sorry.
And the prophet said.
Totally.
And lo, the beast looked upon the face Skywalker, and it stayed in his hand from killing. From that day, it was as one dead.
There you go.
Kill Skywalker! Use your hate.
Come
to the dark side.
King Kong, bloody brilliant. Yeah. And we've said this evening, it's probably the best, it is the best depiction of King Kong. and best on film, best stories.
I have a soft spot for the 70s one because I grew up with it.
Yeah,
but like I agree that the original is the best.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we all know the story. Director Carl Denham wants to finish his film in an exotic location, so he picks Skull Island, which isn't on any maps, of course. And there is and there's loads of natives who have got a big gate and a wall to keep Kong in, but they treat him as a sort of god. And anyway, Carl Denham takes his film crew and they discover Kong. It takes a fancy to the leading lady, played by Fay Wray, who plays Anne Darrow. And yeah, it's about them trying to get Anne Darrow back, and then Carl Denham, being a bit of an entrepreneur, says, let's get that monkey back to New York and we'll show it off. It'll make millions. And the rest is cinematic history.
Yeah.
You know? Goes back to New York, we all know what happens. He's off that building swiping airplanes.
Yeah. I mean,
which is the most iconic, well, it's one of the most iconic scenes.
Willis O'Brien's effect work in that film.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is he the one that did the claymation then?
Yeah.
He was the one, I mean, I'm sure.
Stop my emotion, I
suppose. Ray Harryhausen went on the set as well.
Right.
When he was just a youngster, because that was who he. You know what I mean?
I will say, no disrespect to the fine work that was done in that film, but there was certain scenes when I thought, bloody hell, it's Wallace. And there was just certain scenes and I was like, oh my god, yeah, that's totally Wallace.
But we're influenced by
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it today, and it still stands up brilliantly.
Can we give a shout out to Steve Clarenbold, who was watching it at the same time?
Yeah, there was three of us watching this film, weirdly enough, today at the same time. There was me and Daz, which we didn't know, we were both in separate houses.
Yeah.
And then one of the lads who's in the group,
Steve Clarenbold,
in the Carl Cultural Group. He's a good lad.
Yeah. He was watching it at the same time.
He was watching it as well.
So good on you, Steve.
Yeah.
Just by fluke.
Yeah.
Pure fluke, which is ace.
I would have joined in, but I was working.
I had one of them rare days off. So I'll give you a bit of trivia. I mean, you don't need to know much more about the story, do you?
I mean,
you know what happens.
Jack Driscoll, the hero.
Oh yeah.
He was in everything. Big Jake.
Yeah.
McClinton. He was in a lot of stuff with John Wayne.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Diamonds Are Forever was another one he was in.
Oh right.
Hellfighters, Green Beret. He was in Bonanza as well.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But he was in absolutely.
Did he manage to get
in?
No.
Absolutely.
How to fill this.
Everything. All the Sheriff of Fractured Jaw. The original Quiet American. He was in absolutely loads of stuff. Jack Driscoll. And he'd done a bit with Abbott and Costello.
Right.
Best of the bad man.
He was quite a misogynist at the beginning of the film, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, there's no place for a woman on the boat.
He smacks her.
He smacks her by accident.
Yeah.
And then about 2 minutes later he goes, I never really apologised for that smack.
Yeah.
But he doesn't apologise.
He never apologises.
Was it not because she's been hysterical? That was always the thing, was it? She's been hysterical. Give her
slap.
A slap.
No, he just goes, oh, bang. He sort of like chins her. With his elbow, is it? Yeah.
With
his elbow or something, he just catches her. Oh no, he's doing a signal, and he just catches her. But it's in the film.
Yeah.
So, beating women in that.
But he's quite misogynist at the start. But obviously, him and Fay Wray get together and they're planning to marry and everything. The day after the monkey expedition.
I mean, the film's an hour and 44 long.
All right, so that's
quite a long film.
That's the longest one out of the lot.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic from start to finish.
Doesn't feel like an hour.
Doesn't feel like an hour and 45 minutes at all.
No.
And the story's done and dusted. Yeah, you know, you give it to Peter Jackson, and it turns into a three-hour fucking marathon.
I'll be honest, I've never seen it.
I haven't watched it.
No.
Neither have you seen it.
So we've got all three of us who've never bothered with it.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it?
Oh, yeah, well, no, I think I saw it in cinema. But yeah, I didn't think it was really great.
I enjoy the 76 one.
It's a big film that came out. I love the 76 one, so I went and watched it. But I never came out going, I think I saw it again.
It was one of the first films I ever got taken to see on the cinema in 1976, King Kong.
I always remembered that as a kid, starring Chris Christopherson. So I was quite surprised when it was Jeff Bridges. But I was too young to know.
What was the gorilla?
Yeah. I was just. I think it was just because I watched Convoy, and when I was a kid, I didn't really know who actors were. I watched Convoy and Chris Christopherson.
You can mix them up easy.
In Convoy with his big beard. Bridges at the time had a big beard as well. I think I just kind of got the two of them mixed up. So up until recently, I always thought it was him in King Kong.
And I liked Skull Island.
I did as well, it's good.
I didn't watch that.
You've not seen Skull Island?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's excellent. It's very good. It's like Apocalypse Now with Kong.
Yeah, he's deliberately done that.
Yeah, and the soundtrack's fantastic.
Right, worth watching.
Yeah, got a great cast.
The random thing about that is, I can't remember the name of him, but that's the director of Kings of Summer, which is the film that I was going to give you on the Giving Each Other One podcast. Which is like a coming of age, kids kind of coming of age, kind of weird, kind of like.
Yeah.
It's like just a nice feel good movie. So, why some movie studio went watching this coming of age feel good movie with kids and went, that's the guy. That's the guy that I want to make my King Kong film. But it works. He did a really good job.
He did.
He did a really good job.
And obviously, Kong versus Godzilla.
I really enjoyed that.
They're my two favourites. So I really enjoyed all those films.
The Monsterverse.
Yeah, the Monsterverse, yeah, those two.
Yeah, I liked the first Godzilla when he came back.
I liked it as well, that'd be my third favourite.
From the Monsterverse, the legendary lot. Yeah. But yeah, Kong vs. Godzilla was by far the best of the bunch.
It's good, yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
I need to rewatch that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really, really good.
I loved it.
And, because obviously the 76 Kong had a sequel.
Did it?
Yeah.
Right, I never saw that.
Kong Lives.
Yeah, King Kong Lives. With
Raise the Kong.
Linda Raise the Kong.
No, that's a different film, mate.
What's her name? Linda Hamilton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember it.
It was a canon film.
Before Terminator?
No, it was after.
Oh, really? Okay.
King Kong Lives. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right, it was a canon film.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's alright. And obviously, there was a sequel to this as well.
Yeah, I
Son of Kong. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Bridges in it.
So I'll give you a bits of trivia on King Kong's Larry. Marion C. Cooper, the dude who directed it, I don't think you mentioned that at the beginning.
No. I think you did. Did you?
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. His first vision for the film was of a giant ape on top of the world's tallest building fighting airplanes, and then he worked backwards.
Right.
Which I think is pretty cool. Though. It's like, yeah, that is a cracking idea.
Yeah.
How am I going to get there? Excellent. King Kong's roar was a lion's roar and a tiger's roar combined, slow down and run backwards.
All right, okay.
It grossed $90,000 in its opening weekend, the biggest opening ever of all time at that time.
Yeah.
And, I'll give you one more bit, and this is what we were touching on before. The success of this film is often credited for saving RKO Pictures from bankruptcy.
Ah, yeah.
So it's another horror monster film that saved
RKO, the studio. Yeah. It was an iconic kind of thing, the little kind of antennae on a planet in it.
Well, you see King Kong on that, don't you?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I mean, they must have been bought out at some point because
they're not.
I don't know who owns RKO now.
Yeah.
It'll be Universal, I bet.
No, I haven't got a clue.
Disney, probably. Because 20th Century Fox probably bought them, and then Disney bought them.
Yeah.
If anybody knows, let us know.
Yeah. Well, that's me on King Kong.
Is that you on King Kong?
That's me on King Kong.
There we go then. That's us done.
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah.
Aye. Yeah. Well, that was a bit of a short one tonight, really.
Yeah, but probably at a good length. About an hour and a half.
Is it? Right? Yeah.
That's
well.
That's a good length.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
But no, I've enjoyed that tonight. It's taken me back.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good catching up on it. I'll say I'm looking forward to all these movies that we've got to watch.
64 in total.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to get them done, all
of
them.
It'd be nice for us all to try and get more watched, if you can. Yeah, I know you'll struggle. You'll be the one who'll struggle, but
yeah. I
I'll give it a good go. As I say, I've cracked on with some Amicus, so I'll see if I can get, because I'm looking forward to watching some of the Amicus that I've never seen.
Oh, they're brilliant. They are absolute fan. I know you're a fan of Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
There we are, two kind of.
And it's very much of that Hammer era, and I love Hammer kind of ethos. And it's shares actors with
completely.
I won't start talking about it too much because I don't want to spoil the actual Amicus one. But I started watching one of them the other day, and I was immediately at home because I had a couple of good Hammer actors, as well as Donald Sutherland, one of my other favourite actors. He cropped up, and Roy Castle, who's fucking great. Yeah. As well, and I was like, oh, this is Freeman. A good start.
Alan Freeman.
Alan Fluff Freeman.
No way.
It was a good start. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm gonna enjoy watching these. So yeah, I'll definitely. I don't know if
I've got a few on VHS. I've got House of Drip Blood. And I've got another one. I've got Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror as well. And I think I've got the Monster Club somewhere.
The Monster Club. We've talked about that one before.
Yeah. That's not an official Amicus,
but
it is.
I do love that film.
Yeah. It is, but it isn't. I always class it as.
Yeah.
Because they did. Going down the Amicus thing, but they did the Doctor Who films as well.
They're
not anthologies, obviously, and we're just talking about the anthologies, but I didn't know that, and that's, I used to love those
great films.
Well, there's nothing stopping us doing an Amicus, because we'll do a Hammer one.
It is,
so there's nothing stopping us doing an Amicus one again, doing Amicus.
Yeah.
Because they've done lots of other films. Right, it's just all, everyone knew them as the.
Yeah, just it, I mean, they kind of passed me by, I suppose. Mm. But I've enjoyed what I've been watching.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we'll call it a night.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. Big shout out to folk who I do know who listens, Mr. Hatcher, Gav, you know what I mean? Steve Claddenbald. I'm trying to think who else listens. That's it.
Guy that met on elections, whose name I didn't pick up, who's wearing a Bob's Burgers hoodie. I hope you're still listening.
Yeah, that's it. And we still want to know who it is. We don't know who this is.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, let us know, please.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening and tuning in. And it's been the Cumbria Cult Cinemacast for a paperback production, produced by me, them two, Igor and Igor, and Nick Brownlee. Thank you all. Good night. God bless. And we'll see you with Amicus Anthologies next. Good night.